Hey everybody, on this special Friday edition, welcome into Redacted, all of you rebels out there, wherever you are around the world. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
So glad to have you here on this Friday, this special edition. We decided to do a Friday show because we're going to be off at the beginning of next week, and we thought, well, what the hell? We're here on Friday night. Let's see who wants to watch and do a whole show. And boy, holy smokes, there is a ton of news for us to cover on Friday night.
You know, actually, oftentimes we take off Fridays normally, and then we just sit, you know, and we watch all these stories break, and we're like, we got to get at that. Yeah. So we're here. We're going to give it a shot this Friday. Thanks for coming.
So we're going to bring you the very latest on the disaster in Ohio. People now saying that this could be the worst ecological disaster in American history. So we're going to dive into what the federal response is. There's a whole bag of mixed messages. Plus, we're going to be live there on the ground with eyewitnesses who are seeing all sorts of chemicals in the water. People saying they're not returning to their homes. Federal officials saying, yeah, sure, it's fine. Go ahead and drink the water. But then when they're offered to drink water, they're like, no, I don't want to touch your water. So, like, what kind of mixed messages can you possibly have? It's really, really awful. But we're going to bring you the very latest on that.
Plus, a timely announcement from NATO that they're going to develop a space force. So, you know, NATO is an acronym for North American Treaty. So I guess, I don't know how that's going to work. They need a new acronym to go into space.
Onto the moon because of all these UFOs. So this is such a timely announcement. We'll break that down for you.
Yes. We're also going to talk about trans rights activists hating on the New York Times. That new battle heating up. J.K. Rowling smack dab in the center.
Hey, the CEO of YouTube is resigning on the very same day, virtually, that we're getting a bunch of subpoenas from Congress on censorship. Could they be related? We'll look at all of that and more as Redacted starts right now on this Friday.
All right, I got my acronyms wrong. NATO is North Atlantic.
Yeah.
Yes. Sorry, I misspoke there. But we're going to see if, you know, because it can be like global.
Yeah, because if you think about if it's North American, boy, they're outside of their purview at this point.
They've gone a little too far.
They're way off.
They're way off. Oh, boy. Welcome in on this Friday. Hope everyone's doing good. Chester Wolf the Griffin, thank you for your kind super chat on this Friday. He says, $5 super chat. He says, YouTube is suppressing the live stream. It's not showing up anywhere on my feed. I just happened to come across it. That's proof you are over the target. Yeah, I mean, this is the thing with YouTube, right, and the suppression. That's why we stream both on Rumble simultaneously as YouTube. And frankly, we use YouTube to push, you know, awareness because we want to leave YouTube eventually, unless they can clean up their act.
Yeah, we're going to talk about later in the show whether or not the new person who is in charge at YouTube is better or worse than it has been, because we are going to remind you of the rules that we have to abide by in order to be on this platform. Really, we also remind you that we are still on Rumble.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to comment on what you were just saying, because earlier, right before the show, we were having a whole debate, our whole team, back and forth on can we show this particular thing on YouTube? It was a graphic that we were going to show. And like, no, going through their terms of service, it like specifically says, if you show this thing, sorry. Like, oh, there, I guess we can't do that on YouTube.
Yeah. That's what you're not getting, but you're getting a lot more.
Yeah.
I would be really curious to know if the major, like CNN, MSNBC, like when they show those things, if their channels are demonetized or if it's okay for them. Like, I would really love to have a backdoor access to see if they still get those monetized.
Yeah, I'm sure there's like some other tier, but we know that there's different tiers for mainstream media. Like if you're Fox or CNN or whatever, they put you in this different bucket. So, and we know that that's been confirmed from YouTube. Boy, I would love to sit down and have a conversation with these people and do an interview with them and really, really lay it on, really lay into them deeply, you know?
What do you mean?
Lay it on thick.
Lay into them.
I don't know.
You're not allowed to do that, honey. No, you're right. Not laying on anybody.
That's right. Though. Okay. I'm married. I forgot.
Let's lay into this.
I thought lay into was just a euphemism for getting after somebody.
Yeah, like, I'm going to lay into that person. When I see that person, I'm going to lay in. I'm going to give him peace of my mind. 2 cents. I'm going to give him 2 cents. I don't know. I all the idioms are out.
All right.
All right. Let's,
I'm going to do that person some interviewing.
I'm going to really nail that person. It's not working out.
I don't
out.
Like that. I don't like how that sounds.
It's not working out the way I... No wonder we're being suppressed. Hey, we got a newsletter, but that's not being suppressed. Go to redacted.inc. It's totally free. I think we had another record signups this morning. We hope we're bringing you value every morning. All you need to do is go to redacted.inc, not .com. You just put in your email address, and then you'll receive a welcome email from me. It'll come from Clayton at redacted.inc. And then on Monday through Friday, around 6:30 a.m. Eastern time, you'll get a brand new newsletter. So Monday, you'll get the latest newsletter where we cover like 5 or 6 stories over your cup of coffee. You can enjoy it. Again, redacted.inc is the place to go. Natalie does a lot of the writing on the newsletter, so it has her wit and witticisms in there and her critiques, and I add a lot of the comedy. So anytime you're laughing out loud, it's from me.
You said it wasn't being suppressed, though, and that's not actually right, because Google has deemed it dangerous information. So
that's true. That's people were saying it was showing up in their, yeah, their Gmail inbox. Google Gmail is flagging it as dangerous. I'm like, oh, the truth is now dangerous? Okay. Thank you, Google.
Hey, did you read the newsletter this morning that showed that we have competition now for married news presenters?
Oh.
Kelly Ripa now is going to get a new co-host. She's gone through many of them.
But she doesn't do the news, right? She just,
they
play games, like spin the wheel. And...
it's news light. They will like kind of talk about the news topically a little bit, and then they go into, I don't know, bits
I don't
and bobs.
Think that they're competition for the type of news that we cover here.
Not really, but wouldn't it be amazing if they started to? They'd be like, how about that COVID vaccine? How about anti-war movements? People would be like, well, wait a minute.
What just happened
what?
To Kelly?
This is supposed to be full of niceties. But we'll see, you know, if people like them better than us as a married couple.
I stopped watching them when Regis left. If Regis comes back, then I'll start watching them again.
I don't think that's going to happen. But that is your reminder that our love language sometimes comes across as grating to some. So, yeah. That's how it. That's how.
Yeah.
It is.
Sometimes it comes in and out as a physical touch under the table. You know.
That's right. Yeah. Or a kick, a kick from someone.
You never know.
Yeah. Well, that's what I meant by physical touch. I wasn't suggesting something else.
It's an invisible touch. Okay. Let's get into the news, shall we? Let's start with the big story, which, of course, what happened in East Palestine, Ohio, being called the worst environmental disaster in American history. Those are the words coming from a number of scientists over the past 24 hours. The federal government, though, and the Biden administration largely ignoring this story.
Yes.
By the way, this is what... So J.D. Vance, of course, is the new senator from Ohio. Both senators are there, but the Biden administration is basically non-existent. A few EPA lackeys are there. But other than that, Biden's not there. Buttigieg is not there.
Norfolk NTSB. Southern didn't show up to town meetings. They're just, you know, releasing statements. They're only speaking through press releases and saying, well, we have another fund. We have another way for you to get in touch with us to get reimbursed for certain things. You know, we're really helping the victims. But not in person. Nobody is willing to actually go there.
So J.D. Vance is a senator. He's the new senator from Ohio. And he's there. And he's showing you what this water looks like. Should this water look like this? Watch.
Hey, guys. So I'm here at Leslie Run. And there's dead worms and dead fish all throughout this water. So, something I just discovered is that if you scrape the creek bed, it's like chemical is coming out of the ground. Can you come here? And let me just show this to people. I don't know if you're going to see this on camera, but watch this. Just see that chemical pop out of the creek. This is disgusting. And the fact that we have not cleaned up the train crash, the fact that these chemicals are still seeping in the ground is an insult to the people who live in East Palestine. Do not forget these people. We've got to keep applying pressure. That's how we're going to fix this problem. Thank you.
So the New York Times published a piece today basically saying, hey, you know, there are over 1,000 derailments a year. Like, we shouldn't really be paying much. Come on, let's just put this in perspective, okay? Go ahead, David.
Well, I was just going to say, it shocks me that they're still walking around that area with no mask. Like, they have no idea what the long-term effects of the gases that could still be in the air could be, and they're just walking around there without masks or, I mean, I don't think masks would help in that situation, but that kind of concerns me that they just seem to not care. That the
David
air could still
wants
be
masks
bad.
Now.
Yeah, no, David's suddenly pro mask.
I think the word you're looking for is respirator.
Respirator.
Yes, respirator.
Yeah, we've talked to some doctors who've said I wouldn't be in that area without a military grade respirator mask in that situation. You just simply don't know. And we're going to speak to Nick Sordor, who's there in East Palestine, and there's no kids around. Like, the kids are gone, thankfully, and people have left and don't think that they're ever going to come back.
Yeah, I mean, you worry about taking showers from, you know, any kind of public utility water, especially because your skin is the largest organ in your body. What is it going to absorb into your system? Not just what you drink or what you breathe, but what gets in contact with you. We spoke last week about how many government failures are all sort of rolled into this one major disaster, but I thought we'd recap. First of all, just a reminder that the Biden administration passed legislation in December to not allow rail workers to strike. Remember this? Here's the tweet from President Biden saying, "I'm calling on Congress to pass legislation immediately to adopt this tentative agreement, you know, because a rail shutdown would devastate our economy. Without freight rail, many U.S. industries would shut down." He says, "I'm a pro-labor president. I'm reluctant to override the ratification procedures and views of those who voted against the agreement. But in this case, where the economic impact of a shutdown would hurt millions, I believe Congress must use its powers to adopt this deal." So this is what he was saying, is that I believe in strikes. He voted against it when he was a senator, but he passed legislation to take this out of their hands. We can't blame Biden for this entirely. This was happening 30 years ago under President Bush in 1991. Congress passed a late night bill. Remember, this is from the New York Times, when they had to wake up President Bush at 1 a.m. Here's the article from April of 1991. Where Mr. Bush had to be awakened in the residential headquarters of the White House in order to sign a bill to prevent union workers from striking. The union workers said they wanted to strike because of pay and working conditions, but they also wanted to protest something called precision scheduled railroading, which has been a technique that companies use to focus on longer and heavier trains, which would lead to bigger disasters when they happen. So this is a big question. It's a lingering question. If rail workers had been able to protest this, would this have been so bad? Would this have stopped?
Well, there's a lot of safety questions, right? Because by cutting those hours, you are also reducing the amount of time that you're checking the tracks to see if there are any aberrations or problems. Yes. On the tracks, that time is now reduced or almost eliminated.
Yes.
So, and that we've heard right from the mouth of railway workers on that specific point.
Yes. Another government failure here is that the rail company responsible for this, Norfolk Southern, was obviously not in cahoots with the Environmental Protection Agency like they claim to be. There was no consensus or full disclosure to residents when they were told that it was safe to go back. I refer you to Tuesday's show for that discussion so we don't repeat ourselves. And the fact that lobbyists removed legislation that would have kept toxic chemicals from going through heavily populated civilian areas before that actually was a rule. Lobbyists they worked hard to pressure many presidencies. They've been at work for many presidencies for the profit, in the pursuit of profit. Actually, lobbyists were able to pressure both the Trump and Obama administrations to repeal safety measures. Here's a good summary, I thought, today. The Obama administration in 2014 proposed improving safety regulations for trains carrying petroleum and other hazardous materials. However, after industry pressure, the final measure ended up narrowly focused on the transport of crude oil and exempting trains carrying other combustible materials, including the chemicals involved in this weekend's disaster. Then in 2017, after rail donors delivered more than $6 million to GOP candidates, the Trump administration, backed by rail lobbyists and Senate Republicans, rescinded part of that rule, aimed at making better braking systems widespread on the nation's rails. Specifically, regulators killed provisions requiring rail cars carrying hazardous flammable material to be equipped with electronic braking systems to stop trains more quickly than conventional air brakes. In fact, Norfolk Southern had previously touted this technology for its potential to reduce train stopping distances by as much as 60%. Over conventional brake systems. But the lobby company nevertheless pressed for the rule's repeal, telling regulators that it would impose tremendous costs without providing offsetting safety benefits. And this argument won out, with Trump officials and the Biden administration has not moved to reinstate the brake rule or expand the kinds of trains subjected to tougher safety regulations. So you can see now, I've gone back five presidents. I've got Bush, Obama, Trump, Biden, right? They are all, none of them blameless. No party, no president.
No, they're all bought off by these guys. I mean, that's the bottom line, right? So they're all bought off by these guys. And we had a chance to speak with Nick Sordor, who is a video journalist. He's been in East Palestine now for a number of days. He was literally, I think, the first video journalist on the field there, and unbelievable sights and sounds that he saw there, choking, not being able to breathe properly, and just talking to local residents. So we caught up with him today as it started to snow in that area. And by the way, what's in that snow? Can you imagine the precipitation in that area, for crying out loud? So we had a chance to speak with Nick Sordor just a short time ago, and here's what he had to say. Watch. Well, we want to go down to Nick Sordor, who's been in East Palestine, Ohio, for a number of days now, one of the first video journalists there on the scene when the major media outlets won't even cover the story. And now it seems like social media is maybe moving the needle in the right direction for people to get answers. Nick has been there for a few days, and he joined us a few days ago. Nick, what has changed in the few days since you've been there talking to the people and seeing maybe the federal response or lack thereof? What have you seen?
So the pressure campaign that we started mounting once I got here on Tuesday has really boosted the hopes and morale of a lot of the residents here. At the time when I had gotten here, no cameras, no media, nothing. There's nobody here. The only journalist here walking around talking to people at the time. I started getting a lot of engagement on social media trying to tell people what was going on the ground, and they got concerned because, you know, what I had seen before this through the media, and kudos to you, you were the first person to pick up on me while I was here. And once I had gotten here, I didn't know what to expect because the media hadn't been covering it for, you know, the 11 days before. They were worried about the balloons or whatever. I got here, and as soon as I got here, I could tell that it was much worse than anything that I had heard. The air quality was terrible. I was choking, my eyes watering. And, you know, a lot of people here were experiencing the same things. And they were having issues with some of them with their lungs. People that have lung problems were having a really tough time with it. Nobody trusted anything the government had told them up until that point. The federal government was like nowhere to be found. But after this pressure campaign, they actually started sending people out here just to, you know, the Biden administration sent out the EPA administrator, and both U.S. senators came yesterday. Why the EPA administrator didn't bother coming out to the worst environmental disaster in recent American history until Twitter blew up and independent journalists started really pushing it is beyond me. And that should tell you a lot about, you know, what the people here are feeling.
What are the people telling you now? We know there was a town hall last night. Are they frustrated? They're being told, sounds like, multiple stories, both from the Pete Buttigieg side, from the EPA, from right. the NTSB, from Norfolk Southern. It seems like they can't get straight answers from anybody.
Right. You're absolutely right. Mike Ryan, in particular, his story changes every day, seemingly. The other day, or last week especially, when he had declared that it was safe to come back in to the area here. That's exactly what he told people. So people came in, they came back in. A lot of them didn't want to, they were forced to anyway. And then he comes out, I believe 2 days ago, and says that, oh, well, maybe you should be drinking bottled water, which is totally contradictory from going last week and saying that everything was perfectly safe. Then you come out today and he says, oh, well, you know, everything is perfectly fine. You know, tests indicate that there's nothing in the water at all. Okay, you got to make up your mind. What are you going off of? How do you keep going back and forth on that? That is what makes people not trust the government here, and that's why they're scared. There are people here that are taking showers with bottled water.
Jeez,
you know, which is just crazy.
Yeah, they
can't get a straight story.
And I've heard you, in fact, offered the EPA administrator a glass of water, right? You offered him a glass of water because yep. he'd been out kind of walking around all day. And you said, why don't you have some tap water? And what did he say to you?
Yep. He shook his head like this, you know, just sort of like a, it was definitely a no. So he declined the water. He definitely didn't want to talk to me, we'll say that much.
Unbelievable. Have you noticed a lot of people coming back to their homes, or are they still staying away?
The people that can stay away are staying away. I have seen very few children in this town at all.
Wow.
You know, even at the town hall, you had, 900 people there. And, you know, no kids were there. I haven't seen kids in the street playing, not a single time, actually.
Wow.
So, and that's disturbing to me. They're doing everything they can to not expose their kids to me.
Well, I know you've been working so hard there, and I know we've got kind of a choppy signal because you're dealing with Wi-Fi and terrible cell coverage in that area, so I really appreciate it. I wanted to see if it's possible, I know you're right near the creek bed there, if we could just pick up your camera and maybe walk down live here.
I couldn't hear you.
Oh, I was just asking you, maybe if you could grab your camera here before we go and see if we can just walk down to the creek bed. I know where you're seeing some of the chemicals in the water there. Can you show us what you see? We might lose your signal. We're going to try this live here and see what happens here. If you're just able to walk with your camera and see what we can find in that creek that's down there and see if we can see any trouble spots down there, if you're able to do that.
This is exactly where that video that a lot of people actually about 12.6 million people have seen. So it's right here in this creek, and all I got to do is toss it right in the water. And then you see almost instantly, you know, how, I mean, it oils up. I mean, there's chemicals all over. I mean, you can see the pools of chemicals over here as well. And it might be a little hard to see with the glare, but I'll go over here and it's worse. I mean, that was a small rock, and it pulls all of this chemicals out of here. You've got these barriers, right, that are supposed to be blocking this stuff out. But they're not effective at all. And they've been trying to cover this up now. You know, they didn't want us to know this. They know this. There's no way they don't know this. All it takes is to toss a small rock in the water, and you know, you discover all of these chemicals in it.
Unbelievable. So. Well, Nick, thank you so much for your coverage there. Thank you for what you're doing, bringing awareness to this story, arguably one of the worst disasters in American history. We'll see what the Biden administration does with FEMA, if there's more pressure from Congress on that side. Stay safe there. Thank you so much, and we'll check back with you soon as the story unfolds. Thanks so much, Nick. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Clayton. Appreciate you covering it as well.
Thank you. So thanks to Nick for what he's been doing there. And, you know, he was saying, you know, people are taking showers with bottled water because they're just really concerned, obviously, about that. And we also see here, if you want to, Phil, take this, Rebel News reporting. Rebel News is there also now. Oops, sorry.
All right. So at this point, there has been no federal or FEMA response. And you can see how it would be much easier if you're the federal government to respond to things that are, you know, you think are sort of out of your control or existential crisis, like, oh, there's a big hurricane. Sure, the president will go. Oh, there's a big earthquake. The president will go, because these are forces outside of our control. But when there are things to answer for, there's no politicians there to answer for it. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so Rebel News reporting that there are these devices scattered throughout East Palestine, these like air quality devices. There's now a class action lawsuit saying that there's long-term health implications with exposure to vinyl chloride, rare forms of liver cancer, other types of liver cancer, brain and lung cancers, lymphoma, and leukemia as well. And according to Zero Hedge, saying that in this lawsuit, that East Palestine residents may already be undergoing DNA mutations, according to the class action lawsuit. So, you know, and we know what lawsuits, right? Let's just be fair here about what lawsuits can allege, right? Lawsuits in initial complaints can say a whole lot of bullshit, right?
Sure.
Let's be totally frank about that, right? So we don't want to be alarmist in that at all. But that's what the class, first of all, you're putting a class action lawsuit together that is a massive undertaking. And the amount of time, attention, and effort it takes to put something like that together, to level those types of charges, though, is pretty big.
Yes. And they all have to have been harmed in the same way by the same incident.
Right.
And so there's a clear pivot point on what they were harmed from, what kind of negligence could be proved. And again, if the company can prove, like the data we were showing you on Tuesday, I believe, that, look, if we hadn't let it out in this way, the whole town could have blown up. And we would have no plaintiffs at all. They wouldn't be here. Then that's something, right? And if residents can see that, we don't know how this could actually play out in a court of law. There were already 4 class action lawsuits by Tuesday. So now this next one.
Lawyers don't waste any time, do they?
Well, then could you do me a favor really quick, like, Clayton?
Sorry. You're both
gone. I was just going to say, could you please run the clip of Pete Buttigieg and like what he's said about that, about all this?
We
like,
are
could
going you just to get the... to that. Yeah.
Oh, there is actually a clip. I was trying to be funny because I didn't think there was one.
Oh no, we're gonna get to the calls for Pete Buttigieg to say words. We actually don't have any. Okay. You're right.
We don't have anything.
We don't have sound from him. We have a discussion about him not saying anything. Yeah.
Sorry, Philip.
Good point.
No, that's okay. I was just going to make the comparison. You look at something like a story like the Aaron Brockovich story, where it's just, mm-hmm. you know, like with the people having the poison in their water. This is like that company was trying to be secretive about it. This company literally burnt the chemical in town.
Yeah.
And right. So it's like they know they have the point source. Everybody knows about it. So you'd think that would like help spirit the class action lawsuit along. But also knowing how the court system works, it still won't.
No.
And it's just, you know,
it'll drag on for a long time.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of blame to go around on this, of course. And there's no federal or FEMA response. Here's what the White House, though, is saying about this. So Jean-Pierre was asked specifically about this. Listen.
I know the UK administrator was visiting Palestine today. I was wondering, the Ohio governor was talking about efforts to federal support, said that they still have not gotten an indication from FEMA that they could get support at this point. What are the hurdles there that you guys see on the administration side?
So the governor, as you mentioned today, asked for additional public health testing and assessments. We're deploying teams from HHS and the CDC now. As you all know, these needs are much more expansive than what FEMA can meet. And so FEMA is on the front lines when there is a hurricane or tornado. As you know, you've seen the president visit devastated areas across the country. This situation is very different. And so that doesn't mean FEMA isn't supporting response. They indeed are. This is a multiple agency response that are folks that are involved, as I just mentioned, HHS, CDC, EPA as well. And they are coordinating with the Emergency Operations Center and working closely with the Ohio Emergency Management Agency. Each federal agency has its own unique role here. And we've mobilized an interagency team to get the people of East Palestine, to be more exact, the support that they need. And look, our priority, as I said 2 days ago, is the health and safety of the community. That is indeed our top priority for the moment as we look at what they're dealing with in Ohio.
Okay. FEMA can't meet that need. You know what? FEMA is pretty good. I've seen footage. They can bring water bottles.
Yeah. They can bring water. They can bring temporary housing.
They know how to do that.
Like if your house is totally filled with chemicals, let's listen now as we listen to the residents of East Palestine describe what it's like going back to their house and trying to open up a door and cleaning out. Like if their door, it's freezing, it's winter, right? So you don't have windows open anyway. So how's this stuff in the house? Listen to how these residents are describing going to the hospital, what they're experiencing going back into their houses. Watch.
Are you experiencing any symptoms?
A little lightheaded, and my lips did get all tingly yesterday when we went to clean up the house. It smells terrible up around the house, and there is black residue on the picture surface stuff.
I hit a cloud of something down in there that it put me in. I went to the hospital. It was worried about me having I've been so stressed out, they put me on an EKG thinking I'm going to have a freaking heart attack. because of my stress being so high. I want to know what I sucked in.
I just feel like when I'm outside and the wind's blowing, try not to breathe in too heavily. After about 15, 20 minutes, my throat felt like there was gravel in it. I mean, it was just, I had a sore throat since then.
I vomit within 10 minutes of being in that home. The air is still terrible, absolutely terrible. I will not take my children in there because of that. Yeah, yeah. Burning of the eyes, trouble breathing. And then I just get nauseous within 10 minutes. My husband popped in to try to get anything, you know, phone charger, things that they say are safe. You cannot get the smell out. It does not come out. My kids' friends said they lost cats. They, you know, their pets have been, you know, sick. And then we have kids' friends who have rashes. And my daughter was one that also had a real bad, it looks almost like a sunburn.
EPA is letting us, you know, giving us, not giving us any numbers. So they're just saying that the air is clean. We know, we've heard that before, 9/11. The water was fine in Flint, Michigan, different things. So that is in the back of your head.
They told me they were going to do an air quality test. Never got a call back. Three times, three different agents from that number said they were coming to do an air quality test.
You know, if I could, I would definitely move.
I'm old. I'm not ready to die, but I hope I don't have any after effects is what worries me.
A lot of white people there. Maybe that's what the Biden administration is staying away. Pete Buttigieg is not really concerned about that whole town of white people doesn't fit into his diversity plan.
What are you saying? It's a racist response?
I think, you know, clearly this is not in their wheelhouse. Like if this was Chicago or if this was New York City, they'd be all over this. But because it's, you know, it's flyover country for them, they don't care. And, you know, that's, you're just watching this response unfold in this way. I mean, how else can you describe it? You're literally not showing up, not putting in the resources that you would need to help these people.
Right, because they're Flint, Michigan, and Flint water, which disproportionately affected black people, became a campaign talking point.
Of course.
We really care about, you know, disenfranchised black voters.
Right.
So we can't be shown to be compassionate to, you know, white people is what you're saying?
The thing... Like one thing to point out though is so likely this gas is more dense than air, and because of that it can't just float up into the atmosphere and clear itself out. The air will actually hold it at that level, at ground level, which means like this, it's not just gonna like, I mean, it will eventually like clear out, but it's gonna linger for a long time.
Oh.
Yeah, and this is the prop. So when they're saying that this could be one of the worst ecological disasters in American history, they're not being glib. They're not being alarmist. They're saying we don't know the level to. And by the way, Norfolk Southern is also, according to reports, fudging these results. They're in charge of their own testing. That's like putting Pfizer in charge of like, vaccine trials. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. I wonder how that
goes.
Well,
and also they have no idea how far out it goes either. Like it was airborne for some time. So how far did that smoke plume go? Like it could be hundreds of miles from there. I mean, I saw reports of 100 miles of fish being dead and stuff.
Well, we're hearing people in our chat now who have family at 20 miles away from East Palestine who have been writing in our chat tonight saying they have friends in Lisbon, Ohio, and other spots that are where their animals have died. Families have been sick as a result of it.
How far do you think your hometown of Reading, Pennsylvania is?
Oh, I mean, there? From, I, you know, I was,
because it's not far from Pittsburgh.
4.5-hour drive from Pittsburgh was okay. Where my hometown was. So it's far. But yeah, you don't know where the wind goes. You don't know how it affects the waters. I mean, so anyway, the problem is that these people just don't know. They're not getting straight answers. So on the one hand, there's like, no, don't, it's not safe. And the next thing they're like, yeah, drink the water. Now they're saying, now don't drink the water. Here's, you know, you should get bottled water. It's like, and you're going to bring your kids back to this to go back to school? It's not like everyone can just pick up and move. Like they've got like bags of money that they can just like, oh, fine, I'll just move to another. I'll just go buy a house over there.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Vedger just sent a super chat saying U.S. government doesn't even have the economic resources to fix the East Palestine incident's aftermath, but they are fully prepared to go into a full out World War III with China and Russia. Let that make sense.
Right.
Right.
What's Philip trying to say?
Well, I was going to say the thing is they could absolutely know how bad it is. They could find out exactly how far it stretches if they sent people out there to gather the data. So the fact that they're not sending people out there to gather the data, to me, looks like what they're doing is they're waiting for most of it to clear out before they go out and get the numbers so that they can justify the fact that they said it's already safe.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah.
just sort of like it's a way of sweeping it under the rug, because if you have the hard data, then people can point to the hard data and that makes it look like they botched the job. So the best way to handle that on their part is just to not show up until everything's mostly cleared out anyway.
So President, but you said this earlier, President Biden is going to be supporting, announced today they're going to be supporting Ukrainian pensions.
Oh, yes.
So let's listen to this.
Okay.
Here, I have this here. If we can take this on my laptop.
Assistance as well as food, water, medicine, shelter, and other aid to Ukrainians displaced by Russia's war, and provide aid for those seeking refuge in other countries from Ukraine. It's also going to help schools and hospitals open. It's going to allow pensions and social support to be paid to the Ukrainian people so they have something in their pocket. It's also going to provide critical resources to address food shortages around the globe and to deliver much-needed humanitarian assistance.
Pensions, he says. Now, I want you to recall recently that the federal government has said that they think they can pay out Social Security pensions for the foreseeable future, but they may have to stop paying survivor benefits. So let's say you stayed home in order to support your husband to go to work, and then you are living on a survivor benefit because he has since passed. Screw you, you don't get that anymore. He's gone, right? Your survivor benefit may just go away because the United States cannot support it, but they have decided that they can support Ukrainian pensions because that government is imploding and they can't support their own pensions. Does that seem right to you?
It's really
no. Well, you know,
yeah.
I guess what needs to happen is, since Putin already like increased our gas prices, if Putin would just attack the United States, invade here, then maybe people would get their pensions and keep their Social Security, because then the American right. people would need the money.
Yeah, then we'd mobilize.
Perhaps. Now, White House spokesperson Jean-Pierre was asked about Governor DeWine of Ohio. He has said, yeah, we're there, we're working on it. He's putting out statements as well on Twitter. He's not physically there, but he's saying words. I think this was a pretty relevant response to his tweet. He's saying, I spoke with the White House early this morning to address the need for federal help. As a result of this conversation, I've requested assistance from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and all of these people that she did say were coming. I thought this response was fair. How is it that the guy who gave Ohio a nonsense 10 p.m. COVID curfew told total response thus far has just to tell us to eat, drink more bottled water. So, you know, he was all in on COVIDism, as if COVID stopped at 10 p.m. You needed to go home at 10 p.m. But about this, he's just calling in departments, acronyms and initialisms of the federal government, but not there himself. There was an emotional town meeting on Wednesday. No one from Norfolk Southern showed up. Here's the town meeting where people just, you can see, have their hand in the air. Lots of questions, no answers. What Norfolk Southern did say was that it would create another $1 million fund to help the community of some 4,700 people while continuing to remediate the work, including removing spilled contaminants. It will also expand how many residents can be reimbursed for their evacuation costs, covering this entire village and surrounding, because they did tell them to get out for just a few short days while they said the explosion will be loud and visible. So where they went, how did that cost money, gas money, maybe hotel money. You know, you couldn't cook at home, eating out. Meanwhile, there was another Norfolk Southern trail derailment in the Detroit area, although we are told that there was no hazardous materials in this train.
But if it is, it's Detroit, so they'll be all over that to make sure they take care of that immediately. Meanwhile, where is Pete Buttigieg? That's the question. And Marco Rubio says, like, what more do you need as an example to have a guy be impeached or fired? Man, this guy should be kicked out of office immediately. Here's what Senator Marco Rubio said about Pete Buttigieg. Watch.
And I don't know what the guy needs to do to get fired, because he's been asleep at the switch, no pun intended, his entire time in office. Whether it's meltdowns at the FAA, whether it's what happened with Southwest Airlines, now this derailment of toxic chemicals. But his job is to make sure that not only is our system of transportation in this country reliable, but that it is safe.
So there you go. Will Mayor Pete be the one that falls on the sword? Will he be the one that the Biden administration says, yeah, he's the scapegoat of this? They'll push him out, and that'll be the one.
He wasn't watching the trains.
Yeah.
The trains don't run on time.
Train spotting. All right, we've got more news to get to on this Friday, the special Friday edition. Let's dive into it. We're going to talk about NATO in space. So let's do that. So NATO is launching a new space fleet. All the timing of this is just like amazing, isn't it? So,
oh, yeah.
It's amazing to me that right as we're hearing this whole UFO flap about, you know, about all of these, the Chinese invasion of balloons and everything else coming into the United States, that NATO suddenly, as we've been predicting, launches a space fleet that's going to take care of our UFO problem and our Chinese balloon problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you have more?
I do. I mean, I'm trying to load this thing, but it's...
I know. My notes also are not loading on this.
It's just like Clown World stuff to me. Like, the show Space Force, I think, was on... Was that on Apple? So, I don't know what it was on. I actually enjoyed that show. But it's like, you know, this is now a reality. We are starting a global space force, and it just... I don't know. It just... I want it to be... fake.
No, it's real, because NATO has announced, according to the reports, a new space project that aims to create a fleet of spy satellites. The initiative, which includes NATO, applicants Sweden and Finland, involves not only national but commercial assets. The project, which is called Alliance Persistent Surveillance from Space, was unveiled Wednesday with a total of six.
Ass?
It's called, yeah, it's ass. It's called ass with a P in it. Apps. Okay. Their new project is called ass. Which unveiled on Wednesday, with a total of 16 current member states expected to chip in, according to a statement published on NATO's website. The project will help streamline data collection, sharing, and analysis among NATO allies with a NATO command culture or structure. Sweden and Finland, which are not NATO, members of NATO, applied for NATO, but they're not there yet. But they will be approved, I guess, be a part of the Space Force, even though they're not part of NATO. Like, this is ridiculous.
It's like, you know, they're pledging the sorority, but they still have to go to the events, you know, because they've already committed. Yes, we want to start monitoring space and be the protectors of space. I mean, what they're saying they're going to do is help streamline data collection and share analysis among NATO allies. Like, on what exactly? Because we already have NASA to do that.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, and we promise we're not going to look at non-NATO data. Like, we're not going to be collecting that. Don't worry. We're only going to, you know, our allies. Those of you that aren't in NATO, don't worry. You're safe.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, and again, this is, of course, you know, NATO is saying, well, no, it's our concerns are Russia and China in space. I mean, they're basically saying this. Like, it's Russia and China in space, so that's why we need to increase our defensive capabilities in space now. And this is where the endless open budget goes. We've been predicting this, the fake alien invasion, of course, when the Space Force was launched under Trump, I said, what a load of crap this is. And then it was continued under Biden, because you're never going to pull back on the military industrial complex. The Space Force, we were all making fun of it. It's not about exploring space. All it is another big money grab for the military industrial complex, which is already making $1 trillion basically per year. And now we're going to give them more money to go in, you know, to protect us in space against Russia and China.
Right.
Well, and again, so, like I said, it gives them an invisible boogeyman. They've now got an invisible boogeyman that we can't verify. Endless funds.
Yeah, we can't audit this. No.
Well, NATO has said that Russia and China are, you know, continuing to advance in space, and that it is making it more crowded and competitive. They said that Moscow and Beijing's counter space technologies could restrict allies' access to and freedom to operate in space, which I just would like to point out, space is infinite.
Right.
So there should not be a competition for infinite space.
No, but this is the beauty of their budget. It's infinite. So they will forever expand. No, we got to keep expanding. It'll start as the moon base, and then it'll expand to Mars. Now they literally said this. We're worried about China going to Mars. Okay.
We got to get there first.
So we got derailment in the United States with toxic chemicals leaching into water, and we're concerned about China on Mars. Go ahead, Philip.
I would like to point out, though, that we are spending taxpayer dollars on Space Force. We don't have spaceships. So what exactly, like...
But these all these guys are walking around in uniforms. These dumbasses are walking around in uniforms, right? I mean, they're like, I'm a member of Space Force. Like, and I had to go to basic training.
I'm ready at a moment's notice.
Yeah, like, what are you doing? Playing F-Zero on the, you know, on the Super right, Famicom exactly, like, or what? Like, I'm in Space Force. Idiots.
Like, they're terrestrial-based. We don't have any spaceships. Like, we don't have any Space Force members on the International Space Station. Well, they don't have their own space base.
Well, you don't know that. Well, it could be part of the secret space program. You know, a couple of people wrote me the other day, like, Clayton, are you aware of the secret space program? And we don't necessarily want to dive into it here, but oh, yeah, I'm aware of it, the secret space program. So maybe we're not seeing these ships and they're part of the secret space program.
Or maybe they're really making beaming a real possibility. We could just beam there and then we don't need the ships.
How great would that be? That's where you could put your money. Like, you know, Dr. McCoy never liked it in Star Trek because he didn't like his molecules being scattered across the universe. But if it could save me 6 hours on a flight and I could just like teleport there.
But like then, and like Spaceballs, you get your ass backwards.
Yeah, it goes. Yeah. You have a tail on your front.
And also, you get that the theory of like teleportation, where you're actually recreating yourself as a clone and then just destroying the other one. So like every time you teleported, essentially like the old you would just die horribly, and then the new you would have no memory of that. Mm. So just something to think about.
Well, and think about too, like they have if there is any kind of alien invasion and they're on the outskirts of where our planes and jets can go, like we don't have a fleet that we can deploy, you know, like deploy the space fleet to go just outside the Earth's atmosphere and take care of all of those ships.
And there's also just a little bit of like, you know, jumping on the trampoline of what we can get out of Russian hate. Like, oh, let's say Russia and China are there. Okay, let's do this then, power grab. Okay, Russia and China are also in nuclear power. Yes, let's capitalize on that too. Like, this is just the next thing, you know. There's no need to, you know, turn space into a battlefield at this point.
No, and I feel like whenever I say this, like maybe it falls on deaf ears. I don't know. When I say this on the show, it infuriates me that there's no check on this at all. Like, and I say it, and I almost feel like, am I just speaking to myself here? Because we're spending $1 trillion on a military defense budget to kill other people, right? That's instead of helping people in the United States or around the world. Instead, we spend this money on a military industrial complex and no one seems to give a shit. And no one is calling for it to end. We have a big rally in Washington, D.C. this weekend, the Rage Against the War Machine rally. Redacted will be there covering it. But again, how few voices are like anti-war, anti-military industrial complex. No one in Congress is stopping it. And it just keeps expanding. Now it's going to space, for crying out loud.
Well, and if you didn't have a goal of it being a bad thing, like it wouldn't be called Space Force. It could be called Space Fleet or something like that. Something that's not like force, because that just tells you that it is a military, like we're going out there with force. We're not going out there to learn anything, to make friends. We're going to go out there and with force.
Or Starfleet. I just came up with that.
Yeah.
Just came up like no, totally
I came
original.
Up with Space Camp.
Brilliant.
Space Camp. Brilliant. Thank you. So to round out this story, we now have an update on the balloons that we've been shooting down, because, you know, they were deadly balloons that were infiltrating the United States, or then they became UFOs. And so we don't know what they are there, but they're really awful. Well, now we know. And it turns out the United States may have shot down a small hobby balloon with a Sidewinder missile. Yes, a kid's hobby club. That flies balloons. You know how like you used to go out in the field and shoot up little rockets as a kid?
No.
Like the Essex rockets. Do you remember, did you guys ever shoot those out in a field? Like, oh, we used to do those.
Oh, yeah. I sure did.
Or is it Essex? What were they called? Not Essex. I don't know.
I don't know the brands. I just remember they, like, we just referred to them as model rockets. But
like, you know, like a hobby club. But that's what these people do. They have like a hobby club. And so these kids are like, yeah, we don't know where our balloon went. And it turns out it was likely destroyed by a $400,000 Sidewinder missile by NORAD. Like, he's shooting down like a kid's hobby
club.
Man,
I feel sorry for Santa this next year.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You better look out, man. Santa, those reindeers, man, those better look out. Oh,
well, I'd say this is a really good example of why you shouldn't shoot something you can't identify. You know what it is yet? Don't spend your $40,000 missile taking it out of the sky.
$400,000. Yeah. And by the way, the money and attention that to scramble those jets, right? To put one of those jets up in the air is like, what, $25,000 to scramble
no,
a jet?
$45,000 an hour in fuel.
Whoa.
To shoot down a hobby balloon.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Kids should never, don't launch your balloons over sacred airspace again. We've got more news to get to on this Friday. We're going to talk about this New York Times revolt. A lot of people are upset at the New York Times for actually maybe doing something correct for once in a number of years.
Yeah.
On trans issues. Like, the New York Times has been calling out all these trans surgeries, and boy, trans activists and their own reporters are not happy about it. So we'll talk about that. The CEO of YouTube is resigning. It's curious timing because Congress has sent out a whole host of subpoenas to try to find out how big tech has been censoring people. And oh, I can't wait till we find out what YouTube has been doing to people. That's going to be fantastic. So the CEO of YouTube said, I'm going to leave. I'm going to resign before all that happens, like the Twitter files. But first, I want to tell us about our friends over at HelloFresh. I'm going to do that. So thanks for being a valued partner of our HelloFresh team here. If you love great food delivered right to your door, and you can save a lot of money right now. I mean, look, we're seeing inflationary prices skyrocketing, food prices skyrocketing, grocery store prices up 11%, up 11% just to go to the grocery store. It's up 8% if you want to go out to eat. With HelloFresh, you're able to save a lot of money off that grocery store price, because HelloFresh is able to do farm to table and cut out the middleman right to your front door. If you had those New Year's Eve goals of like preparing like fresh meals for your family, easy recipes, fresh ingredients, HelloFresh can help you keep on track with your New Year's resolutions. Get HelloFresh and skip that extra trip to the grocery store. Not only are you saving money from what you would spend at the grocery store, it's cheaper than going to the grocery store. You'll actually save the gas money on going to the grocery store. And you don't have to deal with being there for an hour and a half walking up and down the aisles as well. You get chef-crafted recipes delivered right to your doorstep. They have 40 weekly recipes to choose from, so you can say bye-bye to that recipe rut if you can't come up with something new and fresh. So with HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients, seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip the trips to the grocery store. Count on HelloFresh. You got to use that URL. You'll get 65% off right now. That's a lot. 65% off right now. HelloFresh is delicious. Our kids love doing the recipes, getting the recipe cards, and really it takes very little time at all to put these recipes together, and it really is empowering for your family to kind of come together. Go to HelloFresh.com/redacted65. You have to use that code, redacted65, to get 65% off plus free shipping. So you get free shipping and 65% off. Try it right now. Go to HelloFresh.com/redacted65 and use that code redacted65 for 65% off plus free shipping. It's America's number one meal kit. So thanks to HelloFresh.
All right. Well, trans activists are the subject of debate right now, and their main issue is around the New York Times. On Wednesday, a group of 200 writers published a letter to the paper stating concerns over the paper's coverage of trans issues. And then the very next day, the paper featured a story about trans rights activists' public enemy number one, J.K. Rowling. She is, of course, the author of the Harry Potter novels, amongst other things. And what?
I've heard of her.
Have you? The letter by writers takes issue with how the paper has what they say, quote, vilified transness as a disease to be feared. Now, I'm confused by this because gender dysphoria is, in fact, considered a mental health disorder. So maybe they should take that up with the American Psychological Association. They do actually define gender identity disorder as a person who identifies with a separate gender than what they were born. And in fact, they exhibit extreme discomfort and distress by their gendered body. It is a diagnosis. So fear is a choice we all have when they say that, you know, they are presenting transness as a disease to be feared. Well, that's your choice, whether you're afraid of it or not, but they're presenting it as the disorder as that it is. But, you know, again, this is why they demand medicine and medical care, because it is, in fact, a disorder. That it's a real disorder that requires professionals. The writers say that the Times cover this like something to be feared, but I guess, you know, they're thinking that you don't have a range of emotions to choose from, and they're telling you how you feel. You feel afraid. The writers also take issue with the paper's coverage of medical interventions. They say that puberty blockers, hormone replacement therapy, and gender-affirming surgeries have been standard forms of care for cis and trans people alike for decades. That's a lie. It's not true. There are no standards of care. Most doctors prescribing hormones use it kind of like the Clinique counter. Like, are you getting boobs enough? Are you getting facial hair enough? Let's up or down your medicine. There is not like you are this age and weight, you should have this much. Most of the medicine that they prescribe are used, for instance, for cancer patients or for other serious disease. It is absolutely not been used for gender dysphoria for decades. So for them to say that, for instance, they took issue with the Emily Bazelton, she's from the Slate political podcast.
Bazelon.
Yeah, she wrote about the sort of contraindications of these drugs, and she pointed out quite rightly that it can cause hair loss to be on these hormones. That's just the fact. And they said, you know, oh, you're covering this negatively. And I felt like she only just kind of mentioned it as an aside, like one person detransitioned, she said in the piece, because they were losing their hair and didn't want to anymore. And that can sometimes happen. And she didn't follow up on any of the other negative side effects of these drugs, such as, osteoporosis, and, you know, memory loss and loss of puberty. And I'm going to talk about those a little bit more. Again, the New York Times has not responded to this letter, but instead they put out this piece about J.K. Rowling, saying that this is an opinion piece, but they say that nothing Rowling has ever said qualifies as transphobic. I agree with them. They say she is not disputing the existence of gender dysphoria. She's never voiced opposition to allowing people to transition under evidence-based therapeutic and medical care. She is not denying trans people equal pay or housing. There is no evidence that she is putting trans people in danger, nor is she denying their right to exist. This is what the New York Times is saying, and I am applauding the New York Times. I agree. Here are a few notable pieces. I
can't believe we'd actually side with the New York Times.
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to do this because...
this is crazy. Like, they actually...
Yeah.
They're actually taking a stand on this.
I can't believe that they published this because of how hard it is to say these things. Here is a bit from this piece. One of her former critics, E.J. Rosetta, a journalist who once denounced Rowling for her supposed transphobia, was commissioned last year to write an article called 20 Transphobic J.K. Rowling Quotes We're Done With. And after 12 weeks of reporting and reading, Rosetta wrote, "I've not found a single truly transphobic message." On Twitter, she declared, "You're burning the wrong witch." And this writer who wrote this New York Times opinion piece said, "For the record, I too read all of Rowling's books, including the crime novels written under the pen name Robert Galbraith, and came up empty-handed."
Wow.
And so, you know, they're looking for it. They can't find it. She says, quote from J.K. Rowling, she says, "The pushback is often people say to her, 'You're wealthy, you can afford security, you haven't been silenced.' All true, but I think that misses the point. The attempt to intimidate and silence me is meant to serve as a warning to other women with similar views who may wish to speak out. And I say that because I have seen it used this way, she says. When other women speak, they've been warned, look what happened to J.K. Rowling, watch yourself. Like, if you say these things, you don't have a security guard. You don't have the, you know, cushy safety net of all of these book royalties. So you better STFU, because you could, this would hurt you in a way they cannot hurt her. She has been speaking lately, which she usually does not. She says very little. She was not even in the 20th Harry Potter reunion HBO special. They only played like clips of her from years past. And I was heartbroken over this.
Yeah. Same.
So yeah, she never comes out. She does not want to. She says things that I think are thoughtful and calculated. She does things with her money, which again, I think are thoughtful and calculated, but she never comes out and speaks very much. But she has been speaking because of this new podcast coming out with a writer named Megan Phelps Roper, which is called The Witch Trials of J.K. Rowling. We've decided to play you the 90-second trailer of the podcast.
Why do you like Harry Potter?
It's a story about acceptance and love.
Like, I had not such a great childhood, and I think a kid with not such a great childhood actually escaped to something else in a book.
It teaches, you know, the importance of friendships, the importance of forgiveness.
The way people pull together, they're different. They don't all exactly agree with one another, but they can say, okay, this is the common good, and this is what we're going to work for.
What do you think of J.K. Rowling?
So there's a lot of controversy with that one.
So I have a comment that I'll say off the off the thing.
Let me.
I never set out to upset anyone. However, I was not uncomfortable with getting off my pedestal. And what has interested me over the last 10 years, and certainly in the last few years, the last 2-3 years, particularly on social media, you've ruined your legacy. Oh, you could have been beloved forever, but you chose to say this. And I think you could not have misunderstood me more profoundly.
I'm Megan Phelps Roper, and coming soon, The Witch Trials of J.K. Rowling. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right. I'm in for this, but I have long supported J.K. Rowling because I don't think what she's saying is transphobic. I think that what she's asking us to do is think through the nuances of supporting trans rights and what it does to women's rights.
Yeah.
And what she has consistently said is trans rights, trans people should be free and exist, but they should not impinge on women's rights. And now, because of the, even just the title of this podcast, Phelps Roper, the host, has become trans enemy number two because she called this a witch trial, which it has the connotation of someone who's wrongfully accused.
Yeah.
People will not even debate the merit of what she says. They just want to burn her at the stake, basically. And now, because of the way they think that this is going to maybe abscond her, they don't want it because they need her as like the sort of pin around which trans rights activists can work themselves into a frenzy and call her hateful without actually debating the words.
And that's, it really upset me when I saw the cast, like Daniel Radcliffe and them, come out against her, because I just recently watched an interview that she did years ago with Daniel Radcliffe, and it's like they were interviewing each other. And the adoration she had for those characters and those kids, like, she was like so concerned with like the fame that they got, and they would not be where they are today without her. And the fact that they didn't do their due diligence and do that, like, that just really upsets me, because it's like, you're right. They like need an enemy, but for what? Like, why do they need that? And the thing is, like, why would you take somebody that hasn't done that and make them an enemy when she's actually an ally? If you look at what she says, she is actually an ally.
Well, because they love tearing people down, right? This is, it's the great story. Someone has enormous success, and then you're going to have trolls. You're going to have people that want to bring people down. That's that's why People Magazine sells, right? That's why these tabloid magazines sell, right? Because
yeah, but there's a lesson here about maturity, because the actors who have come out in support of her, Helena Bonham Carter and Ralph Fiennes, were the adults in the room,
right?
And the kids, the actors who played the kids. Have said the less mature thing, in my opinion. I mean, they're like 30 now.
Although Hagrid, what's his name? I don't forget the character, the actor that played Hagrid.
He just
passed away, but he also came out in support of her.
I didn't know that.
And then when he died, people were like, thank God that transphobe died. I'm like, really? Because he supported what J.K. Rowling said about women's rights? He's trans. Oh,
I mean, people
God.
Have been fired for his just Robbie liking Coltrane, her oh, yeah. her tweets. I mean, she's become that hot button. So, I mean, but she's got Voldemort on her side. So that's a good thing. Now, I want to bring you this update, speaking of trans rights, about this legislation introduced in Maryland that would get Medicare to cover trans hormones and surgery. Medicare and Medicaid already do this in Oregon, but this new bill would prevent healthcare professionals also from issuing adverse determination about gender-affirming treatment. So you can read it here. It's talking about providing medically necessary gender-affirming treatment in a non-discriminatory manner. The part that gives me pause here is in the middle here where you see it picks up prohibiting the program from issuing an adverse benefit determination related to gender-affirming treatment unless a healthcare provider with experience providing or prescribing gender-affirming treatment has reviewed and confirmed the appropriateness of the determination. So do you think this means that a healthcare provider cannot tell children that the treatments may be adverse to their body unless that only certain people can say this? So let's say you're a nurse and you may see, before you consider this, like these hormones can cause memory loss and osteoporosis and sterility and weight gain. And, that people who say those things are prohibited now unless they are specific doctors only. That's what that says to me.
Lupron, which is the drug that's used, is actually used in prisons to castrate some prisoners. I don't know if I can say the word. The P word.
Yes, it is.
And also, I saw a girl that was talking, and she did a video. She's a detransitioner. This is just the other day. And she said when she first went to Planned Parenthood, they got her because she was having gender dysphoria and she was hanging out with friends and she was like, yeah, I think I could be trans. They're saying like, you're definitely trans. You need to go do something. And she just got kind of, thinking, okay, I must be. So she went to Planned Parenthood and they got her on testosterone the following day and then started pressuring her to get the surgeries. Like, you need to start getting ready for the surgeries. We need to get you going like ASAP. Like no evaluation or anything. The next day she was on testosterone.
So what this language says to me, though, is that because there was the first real whistleblower out of, I think it was Kansas, it might have been, or Missouri, just this week, who said, look, we were giving these kids these hormones and they were getting worse. Their mood swings were getting worse. Their relationship with their family is getting worse. Their depression is getting worse, because no one's saying that these things will be solved by, changing your body to slowly look like something else. Like, those things persist and more fixated on what they look like rather than less. And she said, we're hurting these kids. They're having all kinds of medical problems. I wish that I had maybe said something to them. And so it seems to me that this legislation is written to prohibit anyone who has seen these adverse effects of what's happening to these children's bodies. They wouldn't be able to say it. Is that what you read from this, guys? Prohibiting the program from issuing adverse benefit determination? So you can't say like, well, the benefit is you'll start to get some boobs. But you may still be depressed and your weight gain will redistribute to your hips and you will start to have memory loss and you may lose your hair and have osteoporosis. That you could not
No, you're not allowed to talk about
it. Yeah, because I think the thinking is if we try to talk them out of it, they might off themselves, right? Because it's like that's the thing. They're like, if you don't do this, you will end up potentially offing yourself.
Yes, but that's very suggestive. And that's a whole other thing that you should never be.
I'm just saying the reasoning that they're trying not to push the Yeah.
And it's kind of crazy if you listen to, there's a fabulous podcast of a woman who's critical of the psychological standards right now in dealing with gender dysphoria. She's like, never in any other case do we tell people, oh, we'll deal with this so that you don't, you know, harm yourself or end your life. Like, would you tell this to a widow? Like, oh, you know, we better deal with this so you don't go and end your life. Or would you tell this to an anorexic? Or would you tell this to, like, this is the only place where we're like, well, we better deal with this so that you don't end your life. It makes no sense. Like, and it's a smoking gun. As soon as you say it, it's in the room, right? And the child will say it too and has learned to say it.
Well, it looks to me like the wording is saying that there's no prohibition on touting the benefit of it only, but you have to have a specialist like say the negatives. So it's like, you know, you don't need that specialist to tout. So it would be like if you take not something that's similar, but if you look at like something like oxycodone, if the person prescribing it could only say this will take care of all of your pain, and then they're not allowed to mention the fact that it's a narcotic and highly addictive.
Right.
If they're not allowed to say that, they're like, but you know, like, unless they get to that point where they need that other person to come in and be like, now I'm an actual professional and I'm saying that there could be problems. You know, it's weird. It's opening up the idea that you can only speak the benefits, but unless you're like state certified to speak the negatives, you're not allowed to.
Yeah. And so think of a nurse that has to come in and give you this and know, okay, you know, gay child, I'm about to sterilize you. Here you go. You know, that I find this language extremely troubling and seems to me that it was written from a pharmaceutical company.
Of course, Of course it was written by a pharmaceutical company. Let us know your thoughts on this in the chat below. Was it written by a pharmaceutical company? Where do you stand on this? Will you listen to this J.K. Rowling podcast to educate yourself on that position? I think it'll be a fascinating interview. Since she never speaks, she never does interviews, it would be interesting to hear from that. We've got more news to get to here on this special Friday night edition. Thanks to all of you guys for joining us. We really appreciate it. We've had the Rumble chat going up here. Thanks to everyone on Rumble right now joining us on Rumble. Upwards of 17,000 of you watching us on Rumble. Thank you very much. Nice to see all of you. Texas Duke, Liberty 177. Nice to see all of Amy Bella. My eyes are so bad. I need to put on my spectacles for this. But we're going to be moving over to Rumble for our next couple of stories because these next stories are likely not going to be very favorable to YouTube, specifically talking about the resignation of the CEO of YouTube. So anyway, we're going to be moving over to Rumble for that story in just a moment. So please come on over. Our Rumble URL is rumble.com/redacted. The stream will continue over on Rumble. Censorship free. So come on over to Rumble. And sometimes people wonder, like, do we censor comments? No, the answer is no, we don't. Sometimes people, I see this in a comment field sometimes where people are like, hey, I just typed this thing in it and YouTube deleted it. Yeah, that's what happens. So like, you know, I don't know what they're doing. Does Rumble do that? I don't think so. Do we know if Rumble does that too yet or?
No,
Rumble does not do anything.
Oh, good. Well, anyway, so rumble.com/redacted is the place to go. Come on over to our Rumble channel. We're going to say goodbye to our YouTube audience right now. Thank you guys for joining us on YouTube as well, but come on over to Rumble. The stream will continue. All right. Nice to see all of you on Rumble tonight. So let's talk about what's going on at YouTube. And I've been waiting for this. Boy, I've really been waiting for this. You know, since we had the Twitter files.
Yeah.
I said, forget the Twitter files. Like, that was interesting enough. And there's still a lot we want to know about the Twitter files, Fauci, et cetera. I really want to see the Google files. I really want to see the YouTube files.
Yeah. Would like to see the Facebook files.
The Facebook files, too. But, you know, because it hit us personally, right, we were blocked, I think, 3 or 4 times over a variety of subject matters here covering both the Ukraine war and what's going on with the Pfizer and vaccines and so forth. So we were blocked, banned, shut off, cut down a number of times. And that's just like that's just sort of the superficial stuff. I would really love to know how it influenced elections, mm-hmm. what they were doing to suppress voices, conservative voices. So, we have now the CEO of YouTube, Susan Wojcicki, announcing that she is stepping down suddenly.
Yes.
As the CEO of YouTube.
And she says she's using this focus on my family bit.
Of course.
Focus on my health and my personal projects. which is super nice for her. But I do think she may have to testify before the House Judiciary Committee to comply with recent subpoenas about censorship and collaboration. Here is a statement from the House Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan, who subpoenaed the executives of Alphabet, which includes Google and YouTube, Amazon, Apple, Meta, and Microsoft for documents related to communications with the federal government's reported collusion with big tech to suppress free speech. Now, they don't specifically give a reason. And like, it's funny because I'm like, oh, is this one about COVID? Or is this one about, you know, lockdowns? Or is this one about war censorship? Or like, it literally could be about a number of things these days. But they just want it all. He set a deadline of March 23rd for these companies to hand over documents related to various topics. And they should know, because we saw recently with testimonies from former Twitter employees that leaving a company does not get one off the hook. All four of these are former Twitter execs, and they still had to testify about their decisions. Now, under how do we say her name again? You say Wojcicki?
I think it's Wojcicki.
Susan Wojcicki.
Okay. Yeah.
YouTube has been one of the strictest platforms for censorship. They prohibited creators from saying that the COVID vaccine does not prevent the spread of COVID, which is now irrefutable. In fact, here are some old rules for things that YouTube did not allow about COVID early. I'm going to say these came out early 2021, late 2020. And then they changed those. Here are some newer rules, things that you cannot say now on YouTube. And you can see they removed...
They totally flipped on it.
Yeah. They removed, you know, claims about contracting the virus after vaccination to say now that the vaccination does not guarantee a prevention of contracting the virus. YouTube also, so, you know, we've been suspended for saying that very thing about how vaccinated people still can contract COVID. And we had a 2-week
ban,
meaning we couldn't use our channel. We couldn't comment on our channel. We couldn't let you know. And then we had the same punishment again because we had covered Pfizer's own data about vaccinations. We you know, just let you know what they had said, that wasn't a violation of any of the rules that we just showed you. But we read their results and they did, and they, you know, punished us for that. We also have been punished for saying things that were negative about Ukraine, because YouTube also prevents videos from saying that the army in Ukraine fires on civilians, which we know to be true. And our show has been punished for saying those things regularly, which again, on Rumble.
Can I jump in on that point? Because it's one of my favorite reasons we got banned. And it was literally for calling neo-Nazis, and YouTube flagged us for hate speech.
Yeah.
Right.
For calling neo-Nazis. We weren't calling all of Ukrainians neo-Nazis. We were calling neo-Nazis, and YouTube was like, that's hate speech.
So you're, and I was having a back and forth chat with the YouTube community police or whatever, like, and I was like, wait a minute. So can you please clarify your position here? We were literally talking about actual Nazis. And I just want to be clear, YouTube is defending that? Like, that's your position. That's your position, that you're defending these people.
You defend Nazis.
Right. And they're like, gotcha. Well, we're not, oh, okay. I just want to be clear, because that's why we were banned.
Right.
Because we were actually, anyway.
And also, there's going to have to be some accountability, because, like, we also have to think about the potential lives that have been lost because of these policies. You know, they were silencing credible, like, the world renowned doctors, experts in their fields, and these guys were silenced, and they were the only ones out there actually working with patients on during COVID. You know, prescribing ivermectin, which you couldn't even say. I don't even think you still can say that on YouTube, but like, there's got to be some accountability for the potential lives lost as well. Like, they don't even take that in consideration. You know, I've not seen any of the, and they were questioning Vijaya Gadde at Twitter and saying, what medical degrees does anyone at Twitter have to make the decision to pull down expert doctors' opinions, not even their facts, their opinions or their facts. Like,
and Senate it makes hearings. No sense. So, I mean, literal Senate hearings. United States Senate hearings, Ron Johnson holding those hearings and YouTube blocking them.
Yeah.
I mean, really? And you have, yeah, you have world-renowned doctors sitting there in those Senate hearings giving testimony, and YouTube is blocking and taking it down.
Right.
So, I mean, I would love to find exactly what, and so it'd be interesting. It's just interesting timing. Will she be called before? I mean, clearly, look, we have Vijaya Gadde, we have Joel Roth, like
Jim Baker.
They're out at YouTube or out at Twitter, but they're still called before Congress.
Yeah.
And if they're named in that subpoena, oh, I cannot wait for YouTube to go before Congress. We will cover the shit out of that story.
And we also can't, there's a lot of things around the Epstein trial that, you know, you can't say. You get your video taken down or blocked for that. And so, you know, what's going on there?
Yeah, Ghislaine Maxwell. When we cover that story, if literally blocked, taken down, demonetized, even if we just put her name in the title, it would be suppressed. And I just thinking of recently some of the suppression around Project Veritas, right? Project Veritas stuff. Mm-hmm. I would love to know like what the big pharma collusion is with YouTube, like Pfizer specifically.
Yeah.
Like why are those videos being blocked?
Yeah. Just the other day we did a piece on Marburg virus, and one of the curatives that they'd been using was and I was afraid to say it on YouTube because we're not supposed to say anything about alternative drugs. And you can't have it both ways because a lot of the anti-vaccine movement has been tamped down because the logic is you cost people lives. If they don't get vaccinated and they die from COVID, that blood's on you. But you have to then take the other side of that knife.
Right.
And if you do cause people to get vaccinated and they get harmed, that is also on you for blocking the information that could have led to a more critical choice.
Yeah, a lot of people said, I saw a couple of people saying they're going to see a flood of lawsuits, YouTube, with over First Amendment infringement. I wonder, it'd be interesting to see if they can pull that off or not.
Yeah. Now,
I found it laughable that in an article that I read, they're suggesting that it's potentially because of revenue loss due to Facebook and TikTok. Facebook is even going to potentially take views away from YouTube. Are you kidding me? Like, that is for sure not the case. This has to be about, you know,
she knows what's censorship. Coming.
Well, she's never given a satisfactory answer to why YouTube makes certain decisions. Why is it aligned with the Ukrainian war? Why is it aligned with even the more nefarious factions inside of the Ukrainian army? Why? Why does it want war? Maybe we'll get some of those out of the new CEO because she named YouTube's chief product officer, Neil Mohan, to replace her. I don't know if we're going to, you know, get that much out of this guy because he's big on the misinformation word.
Great.
You know how uncomfortable I am with that word. Last summer, he testified before Congress and attended a White House summit where he unveiled a new content moderation policy at YouTube. Here's his tweets about it. Now, he's using the, you know, idea of violent extremism, like we're not going to allow that to happen on YouTube. And so we shared with the White House our policies to prohibit content glorifying violence or recruiting and fundraising for extremist groups, even when the content isn't affiliated with designated terrorist organizations. So they're going to seek that out. We're also launching a media literacy campaign to help viewers, particularly younger ones, better identify different manipulation tactics to spread misinformation. So, you know, using that misinformation word in tandem with extremism shows you that, like, that gives them a license to reach pretty far and deep for what they don't like. See the story we did Wednesday about pre-bunking videos and inoculations of ideas. So, you know, that gives me pause. In his testimony to Congress, though, he said that openness is what he's committed to. YouTube really should be, our commitment to openness works hand in hand with our responsibility to protect our community from harmful content. So, cool. I want him to, you know, use that openness bit and tell us how they arrived at content rules around COVIDism, around war, around freedom of speech. Mm-hmm. So I'm listening.
Yeah, I would love to see
this. I
think
the war part makes sense because I think a lot of people forget that Google is a war contractor. Like, they do tracking and satellite systems for the military. So they are a war contractor.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. So,
well, and also a deep state contractor. I mean, they literally got funding literal funding from the intelligence state. I think it's from the CIA specifically. So absolutely, these guys have funding and they're in place and they're part of that. They're part of that whole machine. So we'll see. We'll see what kind of buzzwords and things they start blocking now that she's out. But I can't wait for Jim Jordan, because he's the one who's like, these subpoenas are coming. We're going after big tech for censoring these conservative voices. We want to know what you guys were doing. And I'm glad we hopefully get some answers on that. All right, we've got more news to get to. We're going to talk about the CBS vaccine story, which is just absolutely crazy, in just a moment. But first, are you sick and tired of the way the Biden administration is handling this economy? We just saw, by the way, we just saw inflation numbers go up again in January. Yes, inflation numbers up again in January. The price of everything has gone up. The only thing that was down this past year, this past January versus last year, was used cars. That's it. That's because we had that crazy weird spike during COVID. And so now it's negative. So that looks like good. Everything else is still up. Food prices up 11%. So everything, gas, electricity, everything. And the U.S. dollar is declining because of inflation. But gold has sustained and gold is up. Silver and gold have sustained for 5,000 years, stood the test of time with inflation, geopolitical turmoil, stock market crashes, and you can still get it. In fact, you can get gold right now and silver in a tax-sheltered retirement account, and you can do that with Birch Gold. Birch Gold makes it easy to convert an IRA or a 401k into an IRA in precious metals. Here's what you need to do. Visit birchgold.com/redacted to claim your free info kit on gold. With almost 20 years experience covering IRAs and 401ks into precious metals IRAs, they can convert those things. Birch Gold can help you do it. Protect yourself with gold today by visiting birchgold.com/redacted. They have an A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau, thousands of happy customers, countless 5-star reviews. Secure your future with gold. Start today with a free gold kit. There's zero obligation to make this request. Just visit birchgold.com/redacted today. That's what you got to do. birchgold.com/redacted.
All right. Well, CBS News is telling us that heart attacks are increasing in young adults at an alarming rate. They found a contributor who was willing to sort of shrug her shoulders and say it may have to do with lack of vaccination, even though we've never seen really conclusive evidence that COVID is related to heart events. But we do have some data showing that vaccination is related to heart events. And so they don't even ask the question. It's amazing footwork to see how they really dance all around it and never even ask. So I'm going to play you this segment and then you can pick your jaw up off the floor for the sort of clown world journalism that this is.
Heart attack deaths have become more common across all age groups since the start of the coronavirus pandemic.
But a recent study found that young people are actually most at risk in this case. According to Cedars-Sinai Hospital, the number of heart attack deaths among 25 to 44-year-olds in the U.S. over the first 2 years of the pandemic was 30% higher than predicted. Dr. Celine Gounder is here on set with us to talk more about it. She's editor-at-large for public health at Kaiser Health News, and she is also an infectious disease specialist and epidemiologist and a CBS News medical contributor. Dr. Gounder, thank you for being here. What stood out to you in this study?
I think the fact that you're seeing such a big increase specifically in the youngest age group, so the 25 to 44-year-olds, you saw this 30% increase in the risk of death from heart attack. And that really is quite striking. That's not a group, an age group, in which you normally see heart attacks, much less dying from a heart attack.
So to do a study like this, you look at the years prior to the pandemic and the typical rate of heart attack death in that age group, and then you see it increase and you wonder, what's the new variable? And so the pandemic is that new variable?
That's right. So these researchers looked at 10 years of data across the U.S., all the death certificates that get filed with the CDC, that data. And so what they saw is prior to the pandemic, heart attack deaths were actually dropping. And then that trend reverses, and you see those deaths go up, especially among that youngest age group during the pandemic.
And do we know why younger people might be more at risk? Or
We don't know for sure. And in fact, these death certificates are probably not even capturing the fact that they might have had COVID. They're really just saying, did you die from a heart attack or not? What we do know, however, is that younger people were less likely to protect themselves against COVID than older people, less likely to mask, less likely to take other mitigation measures. And they were also farther back in line to get vaccinated. So they were not protected with vaccination until later in the pandemic. Those might have been a factor here.
So basically, I mean, you could have had perhaps a mild infection, and of course, this is all hypothetical, but then there might have been a lingering heart situation, heart disease.
Right. So COVID causes inflammation of the blood vessels as well as other parts of the body and also blood clots. And what we think is that a COVID infection may have actually accelerated the process of developing heart disease, what we call coronary artery disease, and so therefore accelerated when somebody might have had a heart attack and died from a heart attack.
You know, but COVID also changes how much you can get out to an exercise class, how often you see friends, maybe your level of activity overall, your stress, whether you see your doctor.
I mean,
how are they ruling out or accounting for these other lifestyle changes?
We don't know. So you can't really assess that just from looking at death certificates. Again, all we can say is how old were they? Did they die from a heart attack? But, you know, some of the factors you're mentioning could certainly have played a role. We also know healthcare facilities were really overwhelmed during the pandemic. So was it that somebody had a heart attack and then was less likely to survive because the healthcare facility was overwhelmed?
Couldn't get there on time. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much. Something new to go and see your doctor and check yourself about.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you.
So they had 3 minutes, which is a long time in TV news. And they managed to ask her about whether or not this is because people didn't go to exercise classes or lifestyle changes or didn't get a checkup.
Or didn't get to the hospital on time. It's their fault.
They never
ask. You didn't get there fast enough.
They never say, could this be related to vaccine rollouts?
Right.
Which is a fair and obvious, painfully obvious question. And she doesn't bring it up, and they decide to ask all kinds of unrelated things about young people having heart attacks.
I mean, the data we featured here on the show has been overwhelming about this issue, right? So we featured that data plenty of times. We've had Dr. Asim Mayorta on the show. We've had Dr. Peter McCullough lay out these. Dr. Robert Malone. We've had Jennifer Smith. The end of list of doctors that we've had on this show, highly revered doctors, and they make no mention of it whatsoever.
Right. Someone in the chat just pointed out children should be going to exercise classes so they don't have heart attacks. What?
Well, I've seen several articles. They've been trying to connect the adverse reactions, like the blood clots, because you notice she said the blood clots. They're talking about the myocarditis. They're not saying it. She didn't actually say that word. But they've been trying to connect that to COVID rather than the vaccines, even though there is no evidence for that whatsoever. Now, Dr. Mayorta and Peter McCullough did say you do, with a virus, get a mild case of myocarditis in some cases, but it's fully curable. The kind they're getting from the vaccines is life-threatening and not curable.
Hmm. Yeah. So I just love the dancing around, though. My favorite, though, was that you just didn't get to the hospital fast enough. That's part of the problem here. It's your fault.
Right.
You just did not get to the hospital fast enough.
Now, in a awful twist of irony, this same doctor who just gave us that, I don't know, could be inflammation or clots, and said nothing about a vaccine rollout, is the same doctor who is the widow of the reporter that died during the World Cup. Do you recall this person, Grant Wall, who died while in Qatar covering World Cup?
Isn't he the guy that showed up at the Pride flag shirt, right? Wasn't there a big story about that?
Oh, I don't know if he's the
same. I don't know. There was three reporters that died, so I don't know which one was which.
He's the one who, all of the tributes were during the games around him, and they said that he died of an aortic aneurysm. Here she is speaking to CBS about his death as his wife and as a doctor. Again, no mention of vaccine or vaccine status, none.
Can you tell us what was the exact cause of death?
Yeah, so he had an autopsy done here in New York by the New York City Medical Examiner's Office, and it showed that he had an aortic aneurysm that ruptured.
Which means what? Okay.
So aorta, that's the big blood vessel that comes out of your heart, sort of the trunk of all the blood vessels. And an aneurysm is a ballooning of the blood vessel wall, and so it's weak. And it's just one of these things that had been likely brewing for years. And for whatever reason, it happened at this point in time.
For whatever reason, she said, maybe it was there for years, even though, you know.
And they said natural causes, like the way that CBS, like CBS said, you know, natural causes. Okay. Really?
Oh, I guess he did have a rainbow shirt. I was not aware of this controversy.
Yeah.
And so, okay. So, you know, she said he must have had these heart issues we just didn't know about that must have been there for years. Meanwhile, the CDC does have this data. In the U.S. now, codes have been added to the medical system that will show whether a patient is vaccinated or unvaccinated. Experts say they don't really like this because it treats unvaccinated people like a pre-existing condition, and they fear that it could be used to deny some services like organ donations. I just worry, though, if it's not being tracked, we wouldn't have data like this. So, in fact, the CDC started using these vax versus unvaxxed codes in April of 2022. So we know which population of young people is experiencing heart attacks. We know that. It's just that no one's telling us. So there's the data. You know, the media is fine to just sort of shrug its shoulders and be like, one of those things, like, you know, people who lazy boys.
Right.
We don't know.
Well, and really quick, did you see the Damar Hamlin interview with Michael Strahan where he asked him, what did the doctor say specifically happened? And he said, I can't really get into that. Or he something to that effect. He couldn't say what it was.
Yeah.
And I think he's a little over that age group, but he's close.
No, I was just about to bring it up. Damar Hamlin, when he was asked about that with Michael Strahan in that interview, said, what happened? He said, I just can't talk about it. I just can't talk about it.
He said, I don't want to go too deep into that.
So move on. Like, I don't want to talk about it. Really? Okay. You literally raised millions. Suddenly you have millions of dollars that is given to your nonprofit, right? And you're not, and mysteriously you're not allowed to talk about something.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Who's going to push him on it?
I guess. Anyway, okay. Yeah. Well, there's the data.
Because lives could be saved if he did say it.
Right. Young people have heart attacks and we don't know. I don't know. Fish die in rivers. We don't know.
4-year-olds should exercise more, otherwise you can have a heart attack.
And get to the hospital quicker.
You know, my 6-year-old little girl, Eve, I'm going to make sure that she runs on the treadmill before school every day.
Okay, she's got to do some jazzercise.
Like, she'll be like, I can't, I'm so tired, Daddy, you can't do it. But hey, honey, it's for your own good so you don't have a heart attack, all right? 6-year-olds having heart attacks. Thank you guys so much for subscribing to the show. We do have a store. Should we tell you about our redacted store? Bunch of people. In fact, we had a kind viewer the right today saying they were interested in helping us make some keychains, which I would love. And I was saying maybe we can go back and forth on them with some metal keychains, redacted keychains. But right now we have a store. If you go to redactedstore.com, we've got some merch. You can help support independent journalism. Again, redactedstore.com. Check it out. We've got mugs. We've got hats. We've got tumblers. We've got hoodies. We've got collared shirts, all that stuff. Again, redactedstore.com is the place to go. All right, everyone.
That does it for us. Now, Monday is a holiday. It's President's Day in the United States, and it's Carnival Week in Europe. So we will be back on Wednesday because we have our kids at home and it's too hard to work when they're here. We will see you on Wednesday. So please, we will continue to have content on the channel. Continue to watch, continue to like, continue to give us a thumbs up, and we'll see you then. Thank you so much for watching, everybody.
Bye, everyone.